Boy, that is such a stirring piece of music. I hear it every day, of course, when we begin the program, but not often that we get to roll through the entire thing. And so I like as often as I can to let you hear as much as possible of it. That is Rob Wayne's composition. It is the main title theme from the John Adams miniseries that was on HBO a decade or so ago. And soundtrack from that miniseries, John Adams, is available wherever you buy music. And the entire soundtrack is terrific, but that that opening theme is really great as well. Here we go, getting underway. It's the Thursday edition, Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. Hold everything here on the sentencing for General Flynn. Yeah. Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, due to sentence Lieutenant General Michael Flynn next Tuesday, has thrown a wild card on the table, raising the possibility that a miscarriage of justice may finally be called out and the guilty plea coerced by Team Mueller could be tossed, thrown out. How did this come about? Well, it is thanks to the sentencing memorandum filed by the attorneys for General Flynn. And with those revelations, we now see that the FBI used deception to ensnare him in this process crime, this perjury trap. Wall Street Journal summarizes the deception employed by or at the behest of the pure as a driven snow, not to be questioned, moral as can be, ethical as can be, former FBI Director James Comey and his pal Peter Strzok, both now fired and revealed as fanatical Trump haters. Wall Street Journal writing, the Flynn filing describes government documents concerning the January 24th, 2017 meeting with two FBI agents when Mr. Flynn supposedly lied. It turns out the meeting was set up by then FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. He's also gone, by the way, who personally called Mr. Flynn that day on other business to discuss an FBI training session. By Mr. McCabe's account, on that call, he told Mr. Flynn that he, quote, felt that we needed to have two of our agents sit down with him to talk about his Russia communications. McCabe then urged Flynn to meet without a lawyer present. Whatever happened to Miranda warnings? Whatever happened to saying, by the way, General, you're speaking on the record here, and if we catch you in a lie, you could be charged with perjury. Anybody say anything like that? Uh-uh. McCabe said he replied, I explained that I thought the quickest way to get this done was to have a conversation between him and the agents only. I further stated that if Lieutenant General Flynn wished to include anyone else in the meeting, like the White House counsel, for instance, that I would need to include the Department of Justice. Mr. Flynn stated this would not be necessary and agreed to meet with the agents without any additional participants, wrote McCabe in a memo viewed by the Flynn defense team. Now, according to the FBI summary of the interview, these forms that the agents fill out after they question someone in connection with a case are called 302s. And it's a FD-302 or DF-302, one or the other. Anyway, Mr. McCabe and FBI officials, quote, decided the agents would not warn Flynn that it was a crime to lie during an FBI interview because they wanted him to be relaxed and they were concerned that giving the warnings might adversely affect the rapport. So they were going to play good cop, all right? We also know from then-FBI Director Comey that this was his idea. This is, quote, something I probably wouldn't have done or wouldn't have gotten away with in a more organized administration, Comey boasted on BSNBC this weekend. Now, bear in mind, this is January 2017. The Trump administration is just taking over. So there's chaos. In the George W. Bush administration or the Obama administration, Comey continued, if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel. There would be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, well, it's early enough. Let's just send a couple guys over there. Mm-hmm. Well, if the goal was to set a perjury trap, it worked. Chuck Ross reporting for the Daily Caller News Foundation on Judge Sullivan's startling order. District Court Judge Emmett G. Sullivan yesterday ordered Flynn's lawyers to hand over two documents, a memo that then-FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe wrote after speaking with Flynn ahead of his January 24, 2017 interview with two FBI agents and the FBI summary of the notes taken during that interview. That summary, known as an FD-302, was compiled on August 22, 2017 by the two FBI agents who interviewed Flynn. Now, bear in mind, this all happened in the White House in January of 2017. When were the 302 forms filled out? August. Why was the summary not put together until 7 months after the Flynn interview? By the way, it's worth pointing out, and I don't know if I have it here in the items before me, but General Flynn, in his previous positions, was very comfortable in speaking with FBI agents about national security interests, about terrorism issues, and those kinds of things. So, look, they sandbagged the guy. Yeah, we want to talk to you about this. And then they get in there. Oh, by the way, I mean, this is like Columbo. You know? Oh, and one more thing. Now, this Judge Sullivan is a bit of a wild card himself. And more on him coming up. The delay in filing the Form 302, by the way, is totally in violation of the FBI's procedures. Mark Walk, retired FBI agent, said full text of FBI Manual of Administrative Operations and Procedures, 10-13.4, initialing original FD-302 and dating. And I quote from the FBI manual, the original of an FD-302 is to be read and initialed where his or her name is typed by the reporting employee, who will thus certify to the accuracy and completeness of the interview. FD-302 is to be dated in upper right corner and is to bear the date of which the typing was completed. The date of dictation is to appear at the lower right corner where other data is set out. If a rough draft is made, the date of the rough draft shall be the date of dictation. Date of dictation must be within 5 working days of the action. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't from January until August more than 5 days? Am I correct in thinking that, Moneypenny? Yeah, get the thumbs up on that one. Yep. Judge Sullivan wants to see the documents provided to Flynn's counsel, but he is also demanding all relevant documents from the FBI and special counsel. Sullivan also ordered the special counsel to hand over any other memos or interview notes relevant to Flynn's interview. The judge set a deadline of today, this afternoon. I'm not sure if it's 4 o'clock or 5. It may be 5 p.m. We'll find out. The judge set a Friday deadline to turn over the documents. He will decide on Flynn's sentence next Monday.
Friday, tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, tomorrow. Jumping ahead of myself. I think it's Friday, 4 p.m., but we'll check on that. It's hard to imagine a legitimate reason for filing or revisiting these 302s months after they were due, and I can't think of any legitimate reason for the FBI not to record sound and video of all interviews instead of relying on the memory of its own agents. But look, they didn't even do that with Hillary. Hillary, when she testified about the email server scandal and national security violations, did not testify under oath. Comey, despite this being the biggest case in a decade for the FBI, Comey didn't bother to be there while she was being interviewed. There was no recording, video or audio, and there weren't even stenographic notes made. Somebody might have penciled something on the back of a cocktail napkin, and that was it. So there's substantially more to come on this. And this judge, Judge Sullivan, Emmett Sullivan, in the past, has not looked kindly on investigators or prosecutors who overreach, as former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens would be happy to tell you. More on this when we come back. 17 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show as we cruise on here on the day before Friday. Yep. It is the penultimate work day of the week. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 3:22 here on the Thursday edition of the Bobby Mack Show. So continuing with this latest revelation of what Judge Sullivan wants to see, exactly what the FBI had. Even the Washington Post noted that Judge Sullivan in the past has thrown out a conviction of a politician that was based on prosecutorial misbehavior. The Post writing, the judge is well known for his concern about defendants receiving fair treatment from the government. He also issues a standard warning to prosecutors to turn over any and all information to a defendant that could be helpful in their defense, including any evidence of government misconduct. Sullivan famously threw out a jury's 2008 public corruption conviction of U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. You may remember him. He was from Alaska. After it was discovered that prosecutors and agents hid evidence of key government witnesses giving conflicting accounts. You know, defense attorneys are entitled to see everything the prosecution has. Well, guess what? The government attorneys decided, well, they don't really need to see that we have witnesses giving conflicting accounts, do they? There were profound political consequences of the prosecutorial misconduct in the case of Senator Stevens. For one thing, Obamacare would not have passed if Stevens had not been reelected in 2008. But two Alaska federal prosecutors, Assistant U.S. Attorneys Joseph Bottini and James Gecki, charged him with accepting tens of thousands of dollars of illegal contributions and got a felony conviction against him on October 27, 2008, just days before the election. Now, here's the rub. They had illegally withheld what is known as exculpatory evidence. That is something that might show that your client was not guilty of the charges they were being accused of. They had illegally withheld exculpatory evidence from the defense, and as a result, the conviction was overturned. But the damage had been done, and the longest-serving Republican in the Senate at that time had been turned out of office, replaced by Democrat Mark Begich, who provided the crucial 60th vote to pass Obamacare. Now, what happened to the prosecutors in the case of Senator Stevens? Well, as you might imagine, they got off with a slap on the wrist. They were suspended, but were allowed to keep their careers and their pensions. The two prosecutors would escape punishment for their history-changing misconduct. Zoe Tillman of the National Law Journal wrote, "Top U.S. Department of Justice officials violated policy in suspending two prosecutors involved in the botched case against the late Alaska Senator Ted Stevens. A federal board ruled in declaring the discipline invalid." Justice Department officials in 2012 concluded that Assistant U.S. Attorneys Bottini and Gecki committed professional misconduct and ordered that they be suspended without pay, Bottini for 40 days and Gecki for 15. The prosecutors accused of withholding information from Stevens' defense challenged those suspensions. Some nerve on these guys, huh? And now it's far from clear exactly what actions Judge Sullivan might take. General Flynn, of course, unlikely to get sentenced at any serious time in the Gray Bar Hotel, as the sentencing memos from the prosecution and defense both requested no prison. Now, why do they do that? Well, because Mueller and his team of Hillary-loving prosecutors twist a defendant's arm behind his back until his scream uncle. You might remember General Flynn had to sell his home in Alexandria just to be able to have enough money to pay his legal bills. Not to mention General Flynn's good name has been marred with a guilty plea to a felony. And if Judge Sullivan was already set to hand out a sentence with no prison time, there could be something else on his mind. And that something else might be is, in the case of Alaska's Ted Stevens, the judge could say, look, you guys went in there to interview him, did not give him any forewarning, let alone a Miranda warning. They could have said to him, hey, we know we said that we wanted to talk to you about this, but we really arranged the meeting under false pretenses, and we want to ask you about conversations you had with a Russian ambassador to the U.S. And by the way, anything you tell us will be on the record. And if you lie to us, or we think you lied to us, if you say something different now than something you may have said to somebody else before, well, guess what? We're going to slap you with perjury and we're going to ruin your life. And this is step number one in trying to take down this illegal Trump administration. Oh, by the way, did I mention of the two FBI agents that Comey decided to send over flying under false colors to interview General Flynn at the White House? One of those agents was Peter Strzok. Yeah. So will Judge Sullivan throw out the guilty plea and dismiss the case? That's a possibility. Seems like that would be the most fair way to handle this case. But depending on what he finds in the documents he'll receive, a public rebuke of the special counsel and the FBI certainly seems to be in order. By the way, not that it makes any difference, but Judge Stevens is a black man. Okay? There's a lot more on this, and we're going to talk about it as we proceed along. And there's plenty more in today's show as well. Trump should name General Flynn as his next chief of staff. My baby doll Brenda suggested the same thing this morning. You talk about making the Washington Post heads explode. Bob, how about the senator that got elected that created the 60 vote? Shouldn't he be thrown out on his ear? Well, I don't think it really had anything to do with what the DOJ was trying to do. Take a break for the news here at the bottom of the hour. 3:29 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back on the other side. Bob McLean. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 3:36, 24 before 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show. In on my text line this afternoon before I get behind on that. Bobby, I don't think the American people could handle the real truth. This must be from Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. I mean, the real truth over the years. Yeah. Bobby Mack, I feel the Democrat Party would like to see a war right now, but I just can't understand the logic. Do you? Well, they want to implement all of their agenda. And if there are some of those leftist billionaires that feel like we're refighting the Civil War would be a way for them to accomplish that, I could see that as a motivation, not a healthy one. Bob, could General Flynn seek to recover his legal fees? Yes, if the prosecution is tossed, he could take them to court and sue them. Bob, it looks like Dr. Jerome Corsi played the playas, didn't he? By the way, he'll be on Coast to Coast AM tonight. Bob Tregotti knows more than he's letting on. Truth be known, I think they have something big on him. Digging them bones. Gotcha. Good afternoon, Bobby Mack. When the truth comes out, underground news has it. If you've been seen by the FBI with a Hillary Clinton bumper sticker, yeah. But it's another beautiful day in Greer. Bobby, I think the judge should throw out all the charges against General Flynn. Bobby, after looking at the headlines on Drudge, I'm wondering if we're living in Venezuela. That's the direction the leftists would like us to go. Now, I have in front of me, right here in this document, information summarized or quoted in the memorandums that come from documents that were furnished to General Flynn's counsel. All right? At 12:35 p.m. on January 24, 2017, the first Tuesday after the presidential inauguration, General Flynn received a phone call from then-Deputy Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, on a secure phone in his office in the West Wing. General Flynn had for many years been accustomed to working in cooperation with the FBI on matters of national security. He and Mr. McCabe briefly discussed a security training session the FBI had recently conducted at the White House before Mr. McCabe, by his own account, stated that he felt that we needed to have two of our agents sit down with him to talk about his communications with Russian representatives. Mr. McCabe's account states, I explained that I thought the quickest way to get this done was to have a conversation between him and the agents only. I further stated that if Lieutenant General Flynn wished to include anyone else in the meeting, like the White House counsel, for instance, that I would need to involve the DOJ. General Flynn stated that this would not be necessary and agreed to meet with the agents without any additional participants. Now, bear in mind, this is the prosecution side of the story. Less than 2 hours later, at 2:15, FBI Deputy Assistant Director Peter Strzok, he was in the Counterintelligence Division, and a second FBI agent, unnamed, arrived at the White House to interview General Flynn. By the agent's account, General Flynn was relaxed and jocular and offered to give the agents a little tour of the area around his West Wing office. The agents did not provide General Flynn with a warning of the penalties for making a false statement under 18 U.S.C. before, during, or after the interview. Prior to the FBI's interview of the general, Mr. McCabe and other FBI officials decided the agents would not warn Flynn that it was a crime to lie during an FBI interview because they wanted Flynn to be relaxed and they were concerned that giving the warnings might adversely affect the rapport. Yeah, they should have warned him. It could also adversely affect his career and his life, one of the agents reported. Before the interview, FBI officials had also decided that if Flynn said he did not remember something they knew he said, they would use the exact words Flynn used to try to refresh his recollection. If Flynn still would not confirm what he had said, they would not confront him or talk him through it. One of the agents reported that General Flynn was unguarded during the interview and clearly saw the FBI agents as allies. Can you say sandbagged? Now, bear in mind, this interview, as I said, took place in January, and the official forms detailing what happened during that interrogation were not written up until August. So what happened here? Was the February 2017, was that some kind of draft that they did? That was never entered into the system, and it would only be entered when and if they needed it? And was the draft massaged however they pleased? The final result was what came out in August in the 302? Or there was a February 2017 302 that was not a draft, and it was entered in the system at the time, but as of August of 17, Strzok knows the inspector general has all of his texts, including the ones about a fake 302. Uh-oh. Need another fake 302? Don't forget to delete and burn all those earlier copies, Pete. And then who on the Mueller team knew that the whole thing was a sham? On the special counsel's office. My guess would be everybody. They're all in on the game. Strzok was probably only fired after significant pressure from the Internal Affairs Division from the Inspector General. The bigger question is, when did Flynn and his attorneys find out about this August 2017 302, and when did they find out about the February 2017 text messages? And you don't have to be a mathematical genius to see that you're not coming up with 1 and 1 equals 2. And why is all this happening at the very end stages of the process when the general's about to be sentenced? Shouldn't this have happened months ago? So my guess is that at close of business tomorrow in the Sullivan Court Clerk's office is going to be very interesting. The FBI and DOJ, the prosecutors in this case, have until 3. Didn't I say 3 p.m. tomorrow, Monday Penny? Yeah. 3 p.m. tomorrow to turn over these documents. So it certainly appears that General Flynn was tricked into this interview under the pretense that he was not the subject of any investigation, because they didn't Mirandize him, because that would have given the game away and spoiled their ruse. And given that he never was Mirandized, that alone should make the interrogation's results excluded. And everything else after that, everything downstream, becomes fruit of the poison tree. So we'll see if Judge Sullivan, when he sees these 302s and thinks his way through this thing, decides to vacate General Flynn's guilty plea and hand down a summary judgment of not guilty. And by the way, that would lead to other sanctions against the prosecutors, as happened in the case with Senator Ted Stevens. They could also be subject to prosecution as well, so, or dismissal, or what have you. Prosecutorial misconduct. This whole thing is a mess. The president tweeting about Cohen's sentence today, and we also have some more interesting news that apparently we have even more missing emails. And by the way, on the topic of these campaign finance violations that President Trump supposedly committed, what about all those other members of Congress who have paid people to go away and done it with taxpayer dollars? There is so much more here. 4:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. From what, in my opinion, is unquestionably the best ever rock and roll Christmas album, Phil Spector's Christmas album, back when Phil Spector still was sane, was a great music producer. That's the Ronettes, of course, in their version of Sleigh Ride. 3:51, 4:09 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Wait a second. What is this just in here? We have more missing emails. This is starting to sound like Hillary and her server. Investigators weren't able to find any text messages between fired FBI agent Peter Strzok and former DOJ lawyer Lisa Page from their time on the Mueller probe because by the time their phones were recovered, they had been reset for others' use, an inspector general said today. Well, isn't that convenient? The report also said the FBI still isn't reliably collecting text messages of all of its employees, despite the black eye the Bureau suffered from Strzok and Page. These revelations coming in a report today to the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz, detailing the efforts of his team made to try to recover the text messages between the two, who traded anti-Trump messages during the course of their romantic liaison. Investigators have already released many of the controversial messages, including one in which Mr. Strzok promised they would stop Trump from winning the White House. But there was a gap in the text messages. You mean like a 17-minute gap, like in Nixon's White House with Rosemary Woods and Watergate? Don't know what happened to that recording there. 17 minutes of it are just gone. For those of you of a certain vintage, you remember that. But there was a gap in the text messages, or what the inspector general dubbed a collection tool failure. Boy, don't you hate it when that happens? Oh, no, a collection tool failure. Is that what they're calling it? And the new report detailed investigators' efforts to try to recover those messages directly from the Samsung Galaxy phones issued to Strzok and Page. Isn't that what you have, MoneyPenny?
I used to.
Used to have one. While messages were recovered from some phones, the IG said that wasn't the case for the phones assigned to the two during their time on the special counsel's probe. Well, that's merely coincidental, don't you think? We should draw no conclusions from that, certainly, since we already know Strzok and Page hated Trump like Dracula hates holy water. Ms. Page joined the office May of 2017, left in July that year. Strzok joined in early June, fired from the team in late July. They returned the phones issued to them, and they were both reset to factory settings and had no content from their use. You think there was somebody in the tech department at the FBI who didn't stop to think, wait a minute, do we want to reset these to the factory settings? Now, there is another area of interest here. You don't think the NSA has all their text messages? Come on. In on the text line. Bob, don't providers have records of the text on their servers? Whoever their cell phone provider was? Bobby, just an FYI, Miranda has two requirements for necessity in interrogation. One, when you're in custody. Two, questions beyond administrative purposes. Flynn was not in custody, so Miranda was not required. The fact that he was a target of the investigation is moot. Well, we'll see what Judge Sullivan has to say about that. Bob, is the horse whinnying? Is that a salute to Lisa Page? No, it's merely coincidence. Just like Strzok and Page's text messages disappearing when the phones were reset to the factory settings. Bobby, what someone did or a team did was sit down before the election and make up a list of those around Trump that they could get to win or lose. It's like what they once did to the mafia with their capos, their lieutenants. They'd be picked up and then see if they'd flip. Give them a deal. Yeah. Now, Bobby, by not warning General Flynn, the FBI agents entrapped him. That's a nice lawsuit. Possibly prison time for these corrupt FBI agents and officials. Well, again, we'll see. Bobby, I heard a YouTube video by Dr. Jerome Corsi. He said they wouldn't allow him to have counsel present. General Flynn said he was encouraged to not have counsel present either. Now, the way the FBI tells it, McCabe just said to him, well, you know, if you want to get the lawyers involved in this, and not thinking that he was the subject of any investigation, he said, no, we don't need to drag the lawyers into this. We don't need to bring the White House counsel in here. To which McCabe said, okay, that's fine with me too, General. Sucker! Yeah. This stuff is so wide and so deep, it's ridiculous. Take a break for the news here because hour number one has slipped on past. Second hour here on the penultimate workday of the week is right around the corner.